Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Baines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, looking back on your life, can you recall a minister issuing a challenge that stretched you and even frightened you to thinking of saying yes?
I'm going to go way back in my life, all right?
Sure.
I was in high school. I graduated in 54, so this would have been in 52. I was a sophomore in high school. My brother was a senior, and a man by the name of Jack Hamilton, he used to work for Youth for Christ. He was in charge of all the club programs for Youth for Christ. And he came to our town in downstate Illinois, and he issued a challenge to carry a Bible on top of our books to high school. And it was toward the end of the school year, and my brother responded, and he was a senior, and he had like 2 months to go, but I knew if I responded, I was a sophomore, and I had 2 months to go plus 2 years. And I remember Jack Hamilton saying, you don't stick it at the bottom so nobody can see it. You put it right there on top so that people would know that you're a Christian. And I literally sweat listening. I remember where he spoke. He spoke in the high school cafeteria, and I finally, probably because my brother did as much as anything, I said I would do that. But it was a soul-searching and horrendous thing. And I remember the first day I walked with a Bible on top of my books, and I did it for the 2 years and the 2 months, the whole time I did it. And I can't remember one time anybody ever asking me what it was or why I carried it or whatever. But that was a gut-wrenching moment for me. So that's what comes to my mind when you ask the question. I was just, that's a long time ago, but I'll never forget that.
Can you imagine what that would be like today in the culture today?
Goodness sakes. I don't know if it was even a good challenge, you know, but in the long run, it put a backbone in me that was a good thing. And now if anybody asked me it was in the Bible, I wouldn't have been able to answered very easily. I was in church, but I didn't know the Bible that well. And it was kind of, in some ways, it maybe was an unfair challenge, but the Lord used it in a special way.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that that was a hallmark of Youth for Christ, because when I was in high school in the early 1960s, I had the same challenge and carried my Youth for Christ Bible on the top of my books. In fact, it's upstairs in the bookcase. You can
still
see it.
Isn't that interesting? So we share the experience.
The red Youth for Christ Bible, flaming red Youth for Christ Bible.
Yeah, they could have at least made it blue or something.
Flaming red Youth for Christ Bible. I've still got it upstairs.
Yeah, oh man.
Well, that was a long time ago for both of us. Can you think of an illustration that's more recent where you've had someone issue a challenge that stretched you into saying yes?
It's a little bit different than what you're asking, but the thing that comes to my mind is I was in India with Dr. K.P. Yohannan. Was on one of, I think I made 7 or 8 trips with him to India. And the auditorium was packed. There were at least, I would say, probably close to 800 or 900 ministers and ministers' wives. They sat on different sides. And I remember as he was issuing a challenge, and he was speaking in English, so some of us who spoke just English could understand him, and then it would be translated. He was talking about giving your life up for the sake of Jesus and the need to evangelize in North India and to give up the good-paying jobs, all the education, everything, throw it all aside for Jesus' sake. And as he was talking, I remember as he gave the invitation, just these men streaming down to the front. I mean, you got a good third of the congregation, and one man in the back yelling, and I couldn't tell what he was yelling, but somebody was holding on to him and pulling him back. And so the guy next to me who could speak Malayalam, he said to me, his father is holding on to him because he has a good government job, and the son is saying, let me go, take my father away so I can come because I want to give my life to Jesus. And eventually they did. They held his father back, and he came running to the front, and he was volunteering to give up his government job and go as an evangelist, not evangelist, but a missionary to northern India. And I remember the impact of that whole thing on my life and seeing that this was literally like Jesus saying, leave the nets, come and follow me, you know, and just the electricity of that whole morning and the tears and all just the crowd of people around the front. It was a challenge. I heard the sermon, but then that one man epitomized, you know, tell my father to let me go. He's saying, no, you can't go serve Jesus. And it was a phenomenal challenge, and yet the response of people to it was amazing. I'd never seen anything like it in our country, and that's gone all over through the Ministry of Gospel for Asia, and not only India, but Asia and so on. Yeah,
you saw the living out of that passage in Luke chapter 5, verse 11, where it says they left everything and followed him.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's an extraordinarily powerful verse in Scripture. Mm-hmm. Why aren't there more of these kinds of messages preached in the United States?
You know, Dean, I ask myself that a lot. I think one of the answers is most of the messages in the United States are informative and not transformative. They give information, but they have no response connected to them. I found when I was doing the broadcast that we did what we call 50-day spiritual adventures. And always those adventures were challenging people. They weren't to give up everything in life and go to North India, but they were challenging in the sense that they really stretched you. And I found that, you know, the response of people to that was way, way beyond anything I ever dreamed. We had thousands of people who would do those 50-day adventures. And churches, I think we ended up with something over the years with like 13,000 congregations that did the 50-day adventure. And some people, they were just overwhelming to. But others responded. And all the time I hear from people, that 50-day adventure was a turning point in terms of my life. So basically, what I'm saying in response to your question is I don't think as ministers we tend to give Christ-like challenges. We tend to either avoid challenging people at all, or otherwise we make such minimal challenges that it doesn't just... That challenge to put my Bible on top of my books was like Hamilton reached right into my backbone through my gut and grabbed it and shook it, and my whole body shook, you know, because he was asking me to do something that was a horrendous thing to do as far as I was concerned. But he was basically saying, mark yourself as a believer. And for me, that was a massive challenge. And I think that if anything, we err on the side of giving little tiny challenges, if challenges at all, that are not really worthy of Jesus and the kind of challenge he gave. You know, and you look at the disciples who followed him and when they went all over the world. I mentioned India, St. Thomas, the Doubting Thomas. He gave his life as a martyr in India. And you go to India now, and when people convert, they take a new name, and there are Thomases everywhere throughout India. Well, that's a long, long time ago, but his influence has been felt because, again, the challenge had come from Jesus that was huge, absolutely huge to Thomas. And he's a hero in that country.
Can a sermon challenge be too tough?
Yeah, I think it probably could be. I think you have to be careful that you don't go beyond what Jesus would say. You know, Jesus, the challenges of Jesus to the rich young ruler. You know, you got a lot of things right now. Go sell everything you have, give them to the poor, and come follow me. And, you know, there'll be treasures that you never dreamed of. Well, that's a huge challenge. There wasn't too much. It was the one thing that stood between that guy and Jesus. And Jesus very astutely put it on the line. And it, from all appearances, the fellow turned it down, which was unfortunate for him. It can be too tough. I would not call that challenge from Jack Hamilton too tough. It may have been, there was a certain innocence about it because, again, carrying your Bible, you know, I didn't know enough. If somebody said, find something in the Bible, I wouldn't have known. But that was a challenge that was probably good for me at the time. It can be too tough. I have one fella, I could give his denomination, and I give you his name. His first name is Jack. And he said to me, I hate to hear you preach, David. And I said, well, that's not, you know, it's not normally what people say to me, but why is that? You know, he says, because you always ask way more than what you should, and you're demanding of people. And I just want to scream, you know, just shut up and sit down. You know, who do you think you are, God? And I guess he meant it as an insult, but in some ways it was almost a compliment to me, because every time I preach, not every time, but basically when I preach, people, they're going to be challenged to some degree. My challenges, I don't think, are anywhere near the challenges that Jesus gave. I think if we don't give challenges to live the Christ life or the kingdom lifestyle, really we're not being fair to Jesus. And I think that probably the difference between the way the gospel is spreading in a country like India as compared to where the United States is, it's this whole area of the challenge that is there. You can go to church for many, many places, probably the vast majority of churches, and never be challenged to do anything. Just absorb information, and that's about it. So I think it's an area where you can err, I guess. The big problem in America is not that we're challenging too heavily, it's that we're not challenging enough.
You really said it well when you said that the sermons are informative as opposed to transformative.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the reason for the Sermon Coach method of sermon development, is to take a subject and then decide the response that you want the congregation to make, and then to provide them with how-tos so they'll know how to start down the pathway of making that response. In a sense, every sermon that's crafted using the Sermon Coach sermon development method is a sermon that's intended to be transformative, just for that very reason.
Yes, so right.
Challenge, in the sense that you're asking for a response, becomes a very natural part of a pastor's preaching when he or she chooses to follow the method that we espouse in sermon development.
If you go through the scriptures, I'm presently reading Jeremiah, but you know exactly what he's saying. And those challenges, you know, Jeremiah, he doesn't want to say them because they're very difficult challenges. And he knows what it's going to mean. It makes people mad, you know, because basically you're saying you're not adequate in your response to the Lord. So it's not easy to give those challenges. I guess the most frustrating thing to me is if I give challenges and then there's no response. But that's typical of where Israel was. You know, the truth is America as a church is pretty much backslidden. That's a given. So it means that it needs hard challenges, and it won't turn around without those hard challenges. So where will America go? I don't know. I probably shouldn't say I don't know, because I do know. The future is not good without Christ-like challenges being given to the believers of this land. That's where revival begins, with the believers, not with the outsiders. And I think it's also true that we've made the message of salvation too easy. It's all become an intellectual thing, and saying the right prayer, as opposed to, you know, basically saying, I bow before you as king, and whatever you say as king, that's going to be how I'm going to live at this point. Your kingdom becomes foremost in my mind. It's not just a simple little decision that I made that I think I agree that Jesus is the Lord. You know, so we're talking about something that's very basic here. I think that if I try to tie it down to where people are now, I would say to pastors, as you look at your sermon for this coming Sunday, what is the challenge that you're issuing? When you say, here's the way to respond in a Christ-like fashion to this truth from God's word, what is that? Is it just simply not agreement? I think it was a good sermon, Pastor. You know, you dismissed your duty when you said nice sermon at the door. That's no good. You know, if it's all personal, you know, am I a good speaker? You're a very good speaker. Okay, that's fine. That's what I wanted. You know, that's all meaningless. The question is, are we as leaders challenging the people to be what Christ wants them to be in this country with all of its privileges and all of its responsibilities? And I think that if we err, we certainly don't err to the side of challenges that are too strong. They're either too weak or not at all.
It's almost the difference between urging people to become disciples or followers of Christ or urging people to simply tag along.
Yeah, I think that's well put, and those are good words. They're contemporary words.
What we're really saying is, in their preaching, ministers need to guard against making small or less than Christ-like challenges.
That's even better, yeah. I think Jesus, if we heard him speak, and not just other guys, us, I think his words would rock us to the very core, you know. And you say, whatever it takes, Jesus, that's what I want to do, yeah.
That's why I want you to pull your boats up on the shore, leave everything, and follow me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're so glad you joined us for this time together. You found this SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's Sermon-Coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.